alarming possibilities.
Hello, I am a voice created by artificial intelligence, one of the many uses of AI.
Every time you use a search engine, every time you use a credit card.
But its capabilities are growing.
Algorithms that can decide to kill human beings and have the physical means to do so are already for sale.
Isn't it time humans considered their relationship with AI before it's too late?
In the case of AI, how do you propose to retain power over entities more powerful than ourselves?
Living with Artificial Intelligence, the 2021 Brief Lectures by Professor Stuart Russell, beginning next Wednesday morning at 9 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
The cat will be out of the bag for Alan in The Archers after the 7 o'clock news. Before that, here on BBC Radio 4, the writer, comedian and poet Henry Normal returns and realises he's not getting any younger.
Thank you and welcome. My name's Henry Normal, and in this show, I shall be looking at ageing, which some people do complain about, but on balance, given the alternative, I do prefer. Mark Twain once said, wrinkles should merely indicate where smiles have been, although sometimes I do look in the mirror and think, nothing could be that hilarious. As always, I shall be using poetry in the show. Now, the poet Emily Dickinson said, if I read a book and it makes my old body so cold, no fire can ever warm me, I know that is poetry. And I understand what she means. People often say that even the thought of hearing my poems can send a shiver down their spine. So I'm recording this show here on stage at the Playhouse in Stratford-upon-Avon. Thank you. Home of Shakespeare, our greatest playwright and poet, which is apt, as he also wrote Seven Ages of Man, not my least favourite seven. You've got Seven Deadly Sins, they're worse, of course, and then you've got S Club 7. A very stiff competition. Now, what's the first age? Well, Shakespeare says, at first, the infant mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. What a lovely description that is. My wife Angela and I have written a book about our son, Johnny, and it starts with his birth. Now, when writing a book, you want the best first line possible. I think probably Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities is probably the best first line. Can you remember that? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Lovely harmonies there, thank you. So I wanted to write something as good as that, so let's see how I've done. It's under the heading, Childbirth. This is the only time my wife has ever evacuated her bowels on my foot. It's memorable, isn't it? It's memorable. So in a way, it was the best of times and the worst of times. I'm going to read the first paragraph to give you in context. This is the only time my wife has ever evacuated her bowels on my foot. Not a pleasant image, but it sums up the raw animal nature of childbirth. I think being at the mercy of nature, not being in control, is what frightens me most. We see it with death, illness, and I suppose love. But more so with the birth of your first child, the stakes being so high, another human life, vulnerable, innocent, brimming with untold potential, and most terrifying of all, your responsibility. Of course, we start aging from the moment we're conceived. We're actually born with 300 bones in our skeleton, and over the course of time, our bones fuse together, leaving us with 206 bones as adults. So if you do have a bone to pick with somebody, do it with a baby, because you've got more to choose from. So next, Shakespeare says, comes the second age. Then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail, unwilling to school. Now, not me. I love school, especially games. I love football. You can lose yourself in the moment playing football. Time doesn't exist. In those days, after school, we'd play on the street. We'd use a couple of parked cars as goalposts. And anyone could join in. Sometimes it would be 50 a side. If that's all that wanted to play. I loved the boundless optimism back then. Even if you were losing 400-0, And you'd just keep playing until your mam shouted you in, right? And the last two lads, one had turned to the other and say, next goal wins. I love that. That from the jaws of defeat, you could grab a victory. So I tend to watch football on the TV these days, and I've treated myself to a really big telly. I mean, the screen's so big that when I watch England play, they get tired running across it. So if you ever see England and they don't do anything in the second half, you'll know why. This is a poem called Endgame. Demoting a passion to a hobby, the parameters of my dreams, it seems, are simply not viable. I find I'm resigned to amateur status with wish fulfillment unreliable. Now in my 60s, I finally bow to reason. I can certainly rule out playing for England at the end of next season. Thank you. I'm 65 now, and I am. So, as human beings, we reach our physical peak around the age of 25, and you reach your mental capacity around the age of 35, and your sexual peak at the end of the show. So try and stay awake for that. Which brings us to Shakespeare's next age, the third age, and then the lover. Now, puberty, as I remember, can be a difficult time. I remember being given some sound advice. If it's wet and it's not yours, don't touch it. Words to live by, isn't it? Something happened to me a couple of weeks ago I wanted to share with you. I don't know if this has happened to anybody else, but I woke up recently and my bottom had disappeared. You're all looking at my bottom now, aren't you? It's not there. It's no point in looking at it. Nobody ever told me that this would happen. Have I got some rare tropical disease like Extinctus bottomus? No, I don't think so. I think that this probably happens to other people and they don't let on. I wanted to write something to make sure that they feel all right. So I've got your backs. I've not got your bottoms, I don't know where they are. This is called Lament for My Lost Keister. Here we go. I can't find my behind. It's undefined. My junk in the trunk is now defunct. Sternly put, my butt's couple. My tush once plush has turned to mush. My rump once plump is just a stump. My ass, alas, has less mass. My inferior posterior lacks surface area. Cheeks of my bottom, I've no longer got them. No more a rare beauty, I'm beyond booty, sans patootie. My arse is sparse, my eye is tiny, my caboose once profuse is now of no use. I'm depleted, cheated, in short, unseated. No one prepared me for this underriered me. A man whose can is down the pan, till kingdom come, bereft of bum. No shoot looks as minute as my jaxie does. Et tu glutus. Maximus. So I went to the doctors. I don't know where I've got sausage fingers, right? Which sounds nice for your tea, but it's not so good for typing or saying goodbye to people you're not fond of. So I went to the doctors, and the doctor was a woman in her 50s, and she was quite attractive. And I wanted to appear viable. do you know what I mean? I was still a contender. Do you know what I'm saying? I wanted to, you know, retain my dignity as an older man. So I showed her my sausage fingers. It affects your joints. She says, can I see your elbows? So she looked at my elbows. And then she said, I need to see your knees. So I took my trousers down. And then she said, the worst thing anybody has ever said to me. She said,
put them back on.
No. Worse than that, she said, put them back on, dear. Dear. I was officially old. She might as well have got a branding iron with knackered written on it. And branded, well, she can't brand me backside. I'll go and brand me head. It's one of those words like sprightly that they only say to old people. And I tell you what it is, it's quite simple. It's patronising. Now, we all know what patronising means, don't we?
Yes, dear.
Yes, dear. Thank you. That's very funny. That was, of course, a rhetorical question. We all know what a rhetorical question is, don't we? First time I noticed I was going old was in Aberystwyth with Linda Smith. Do you remember Linda Smith?
Yeah.
She was very courageous. And we were on there, and there was the rugby club in. And I was saying, oh, Linda, don't annoy the rugby club. But she's got such courage. She went up to the microphone and she said, I see the rugby club's in. Men with no fear of head injuries. And no need to fear them. So we were running for the train. And we missed it. I've written this poem, it's called Mid Wales Crisis. My art reminisces of a faster pace, like this seaside town in winter, but time and tide wait for no man, nor does the Aberystwyth sprinter. Thank you. Next, Shakespeare says, comes the fourth age, then a soldier. I think by a soldier, he means the age when you rise to the challenge of making something of your life. So for me, it was becoming a writer. Now, I've always liked Bertrand Rasco's line, a writer is working when he's staring out of the window, in which case I have amassed quite a lot of overtime. Now, aging is natural. The human body is adapted to nature, and it has a logic. For instance, the Greek philosopher Epictetus said, we have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak. I was telling this to my wife, Angela, and she said, yeah, but men have two testicles and one brain. So much for intelligent design. Now, see that William Shatner went up to space recently. He's 90, isn't he? And he was taken there by Jeff Bezos. Now, I was surprised that he actually brought Shatner back down to Earth. Because, you know, he does run Amazon, so I expected to leave him in a porch somewhere on the moon. You know, they say, we did try the Earth, but there were nobody in. I've always been interested in space, ever since I watched Fireball XL5. Do you used to watch that?
Yeah.
If you're thinking about safety, it's not the best name for a spaceship, is it? Fireball. And they never say what happened to Fireball XL1. Fireball XL2, 3, 4, do they? If I get in a spaceship, I want mine to be called the Indestructible Comfy Pillar 1. So the universe is of course, in flux, and even the stars age and die. Now, it's not surprising that we look for something solid to hold on to. The North Star is often seen as set and permanent in the night sky, but as you may suspect, this is not true. This is a poem called Lodestar. Polaris is only true north when constellations align. It has shone brighter and not so bright, and despite Shakespeare, was never constant. Despite Spencer, was never steadfast. Earlier generations were steered by other stars. Future souls will seek guidance elsewhere. There is no fixed point in the heavens. It is only that a human life is so short and human longing so vast. Next, Shakespeare says, comes the fifth age, and then the justice in fair round belly. Now, of course, as you get older, it's easier to put on weight, isn't it? I must confess, during lockdown, I've been eating quite a bit of Toblerone. I say quite a bit, it's a wonder my poo's not triangular. Angela caught me looking for T-shirts on the internet recently, and I was looking under SlimFit. She said, so it's not SlimFit you need, mate. SlimFast. I noticed when the first lockdown ended that there were huge queues at some of the major clothing outlets. So I've written a poem called The Easing of Restrictions. Sizable queues at Primark, asking what they'd charge to exchange medium clothes, now needed an extra large. So So I've embraced the internet recently. I looked on Facebook the other day, and it's got a section that says memories, and it said, "You have no memories today." And I thought, bloody hell, that's come quick. Posted a poem up on Facebook, and it was about getting old and getting less rock and roll, and I entitled it "More Val Doonican and Less Poetic Hooligan." And the great thing about the internet is that people can communicate back. So within minutes, somebody wrote back and said, "Less Brian Ferry, more Bristol Cream Sherry." Which I think is funnier than mine. So I thought I'd best up my game. So here we go. "Less Michael Stipe, more slippers and pipe. Less Ramones, more aching bones. Less Iggy Pop, more lager top. Less Sex Pistols, more Ealing Crystals. Less Jimi Hendrix, more Twin Tub Bendix. Less Foo Fighters, more Early Nighters. Less Pink Floyd, more Easily Annoyed. Less Kings of Leon, more Pants with We On." Now, immediately I put that up, I got some comments back. "Less Metallica, more Sciatica. Less Let's Get It On, more All My Back's Gone. Less Clint Boone, more Mills and Boone. And my favourite, less Iron Maiden, more Cream Teas Laid On." So do join me on Facebook if you can, and on Twitter, and what's the other one? Grindr. Instagram, yeah. Now, according to Shakespeare, the sixth age shifts into a lean and slippered pantaloon. What I've decided is I'm going to take up exercise, and I was thinking about exercises, and they're not the same. Can you remember gym classes when you were a kid? I'm going to ask you a question here. What were them beanbags for? Are Peloton missing a trick? Should they be trying to sell us beanbags and medicine balls? Can you remember medicine balls? I added one once. That explains a lot, doesn't it? And here's the thing. Since leaving school, I don't think I've ever done a forward roll. Now, I'm going to ask you here. I want you to be honest. Since leaving school, have you ever done a forward roll? Now, I'm going to ask this lady here, under what circumstances have you done a forward roll?
Grandchildren.
What, you were having grandchildren at the time? So you pointed to your beer?
Yeah.
Explain, because pointing to beer, it's not going to work on radio.
Silly dares on a canal boat holiday.
A silly deer on a canal boat?
Yeah.
Did it create any mess at all?
I did get a carpet burn on my head.
You did? So let me ask you something else. I mean, there's other people put their hand up, but you seem very interesting. So have you ever jumped over an horse? Real or wooden? I don't mind either.
Jump over a
horse. I know you jump over a horse in gym, that's the point I'm making. Since leaving school, having been trained to jump over a horse.
I've been thrown off a horse.
You've been thrown off a horse?
Over another one.
Over another one. Was that when you did the forward roll? Now, do you remember you'd go to gym classes and you'd forgot your kit? And they made you do the gym class in your underpants, yeah. And your vest. They don't like that at David Lloyd, do they? This is a poem called "A Long Wait." "Dumbbells that arrived yesterday, delivered to my door, still sit there today. I can't lift them off the floor." Thank you. One of my sisters, I've got three sisters, right? One of my sisters came to me recently. I said, "What's your new boyfriend like?" And she said, "Well, he's not long-term material." I said, "You're in your 60s. None of us are long-term material." Now, I know that some people don't like to talk about illnesses. People do think that it's some sort of a failure, and I don't think it is. Some people think aging is a failure, and some people think death's a failure. I don't think any of these things are, and I think we should talk about them. Now, what I do with my sisters is, for the first half hour, whenever we meet, we play a game of illness top trumps. So I moan about my sausage fingers, but my eldest sister, she donated her kidney to her husband, and my youngest sister, she's in her 60s, she's recovering from breast cancer, and the middle sister, she's partially sighted because of a brain aneurysm. So when they get together, basically they say, I can stick my sausage fingers up my arse. So humans, gladly, tend not to eat their mate. Thank goodness for that. It'd be awful, wouldn't it, to having sex with somebody and then you become their side salad. Now, I don't know whether you know this, that female praying mantises eat the male during sex, but they don't actually bite off the head in one go. They bite into it like an apple. And what this does is it makes the male thrust quicker and it makes the sex better. And I thought, that's an episode of Love Island I'd like to see. Lobsters are sometimes said to be biologically immortal because they never seem to slow down, weaken, or lose fertility with age. They do, however, pee out of their faces. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? Peeing out of my face is not something that I'm wanting to do for 5 minutes, let alone forever. Shakespeare ends his Seven Ages with, last scene of all that ends this strange eventful history is the second childishness and mere oblivion. Son's teeth, son's eyes, son's taste, son's everything. Now, son's, it's French. It means without. For those of you, son's a clue. So I asked on social media, I said, what is the best thing and what is the worst thing about ageing? And the overall response was unanimous. The worst thing about ageing was becoming invisible. And the best thing about ageing was becoming invisible. Now, Shakespeare died relatively young. He died at the age of 52, and apparently he died on his birthday. So just the one card. Now, to most people at the time, he was invisible. It was only Ben Jonson that predicted correctly. He was not of an age, but for all time. Now, I really like Stratford, I've got to say. You've got some brilliant buildings. I think in the entire country, you've got the only original Tudor kebab shop. I tell you what I loved about Shakespeare as well is that he came back for the last 5 years of his life to Stratford. So he turned his back on all the celebrity. Now, I think that's a brilliant thing. He's buried about 12 foot from where he was christened. And I wanted to write something about that last phase of his life. Now, he used to write in iambic pentameter. This is the only sonnet I've ever written in my life, and I've written it for Shakespeare. But I thought, I'm not going to write in iambic pentameter because I'm a busy man. I thought, rather than 5 feet, I'll do 4 feet. So this is in iambic quadruped. The title is, In Thy Orisons Be All My Sins Remembered. Now, come on, you're all from Stratford. Who can tell me where that's from? In thy orisons be all my sins remembered. It's very strange that we don't know this. I'll tell you why. It's from Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1. Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 1 starts with, to be or not to be. And we remember the beginnings of things, but we don't always remember the ends. These are the last lines that he says, in thy orisons may all my sins be remembered. To walk away is a dramatic act, to choose to be but ghost in your own grief, a name forgotten soon after the fact, anonymous to universal thief. You cannot wear thin now your triumphs past. The tallest tree in winter is but limbs. Be husband, dear, and father, these things last. Your fame was ever one of fate's cruel whims. Now you are defined in the present tense, for ere you're only who you choose to show. In these now lesser words, your soul finds sense. These deeds today are where your virtues glow. No more old tales told of your beauteous youth, the dark lady waiting, now death and truth. Cryonics is thought to be a way of living on after death. There's been thousands of people have made arrangements to cryopreserve their corpses, or, and this is what I find odd, just their heads. And the idea is that they're going to bring these back to life and they're going to get your head and put it on a nice, youthful body. Have you seen that Channel 4 show, Naked Attraction? Can you imagine going on that? And you pull back the screen as a 200-year-old head. I was wondering if I was looking a bit too old to be performing these days, so I was thinking maybe I should send me youthful avatar. Because ABBA are doing that, aren't they? Now, I think this is quite weird, because Agnetha is only actually 6 years older than me. I think they should embrace their age. I don't think that we should be perpetuating this idea that we all have to be young forever. I think they should just redo some of their songs, like Knowing Me, Knowing Who. With Waterloo, you could have Where's the Loo? Gimme, Gimme, Gimme a Bedpan After Midnight. Super Pooper. There's three toilet gags there on the trot. Four, thank you, yes. My Angela tells me that she used to sing, take your teeth out, tell me what's wrong. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I hope you've not aged prematurely. And I wish you a long and happy life. This is my final poem. It's one I wrote in my youth. I was about 29 when I wrote this. I think it's aged well. It's a call to arms. It's called Love Like Hell. I have this theory that when you die, your old life is rerun like a Sensorama video, and you have to sit through it all again, every second, unedited, in a room with every friend and every relative that's ever been in the least bit involved. Now, depending on what sort of life you've led, this could be heaven, or it could be hell. Think about it. Everyone's going to see those private moments, those very private moments. Farting in the bath. Wiping bogies down the side of the armchair. All the pathetic lies you told, exposed for all to see. All the naff chat-up lines you used when you were a teenager and still use later. All the places you had sex when you still lived at home. The things you did to get by, the way you justified it all to yourself, and every really dumb-ass, no-balls, shit-for-brains mistake you ever made. You'll have to make yourself watch again. But then maybe there'll be those moments of rare beauty, the moments of tenderness, the times you cried because you messed up, the things you meant to say, the questions in the mirror, the promises you made when you first held your own child, the nights you comforted another's despair, the time your lover's face glowed like beauty on fire, and the time you said, I love you, and believe your love would outlive the universe. The time you first held in your stomach, thinking no one would notice, and the regret in your eyes when you feared you were getting old, when you couldn't sleep one night, and you lay awake, sweating and praying, you didn't die before doing something. Something. Just something.
A Normal Aging was written and performed by Henry Normal. It was produced by Carl Cooper. It was a BBC Studios production. Yeah.